Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Welcome back to Richard's Golf Show podcast, everybody. Episode 90. We're fast approaching 100, Guy.
I'm very excited for that.
Have we got anything planned?
Somebody had a suggestion that we do a live one in front of 100 hand-picked guests.
Oh, could happen. Enough people want it. And I think we'd be legally allowed to do it now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we get 100 people in here, though.
I tell you what, though. There's somewhere close to here we could. It would be in this building.
Okay. I like it. You're thinking. So, potentially that's 100...
Should do that, actually.
100 episode.
That'd be live. Quite good. Live one.
Get some beers. Oh, we're selling it.
We'll give it to charity, maybe. Charity of your or my choice. I'll keep 60%. You can have 10%. Rest of charity.
I've been giving a lot of £50 notes out, guys, so I need to recoup some of that money
back. Well, I've heard about this. So today, this is actually, what day is it? It's Friday.
It's Friday, the 6th of August.
This is coming out on Tuesday when you're on holiday. So right, as we speak now, you're going to be chilling on holiday.
I proposed to my wife this day. What year are we in? 2021. Oh my God, like 10 years ago.
Was it?
Yeah.
Today?
6th of August, yeah.
Congrats.
Thanks. We're in Dominican Republic. And we went away for 2 weeks. And the first 4 or 5 days was torrential rain. I was thinking, how the hell am I going to do this? Suddenly, a couple of days in, 6th of August, first sunny day, bang.
Boom.
Went to a deserted island. It was called, have I forgot this? My wife doesn't listen, so it won't really matter. But went to this deserted island on this like nice little day trip. Went out to this like Blue Lagoon area. And she even said to me that today, at that point, I had the ring in my shorts pocket back on the boat. And she said, if you're ever going to propose to me, this would be the place.
Like, no.
You have to bring me back here when you do. Thinking to myself, give it 10 minutes, love, and I'll be dropping down on the knee. So we went to, what's the island called? Like not Siona Island. Could be. Off the coast of the Dominican Republic. A few days later, half an hour later, I was down on one knee and asking the question. So, talk about efficiency.
Question for you. I've always thought this, when people get engaged abroad, how on earth did you take that ring on the flight? Was it stuffed in like a sock in a shoe or something?
Yeah, hand luggage. I didn't put it in.
All right, yeah.
So, I put it in hand luggage. You're right, probably in a sock, in the box. The box was quite big. And that's not a flight.
It's a massive ring.
It just was a big box.
You've got huge fingers.
It's a massive diamond, but like you're so conscious, like going through like security and everything.
That.
Because how many times do you have to empty your hand luggage back? But I had to take it hand luggage because I couldn't take it. You know,
I can imagine you getting down on one knee in Terminal One, Manchester Airport, because you got caught with the ring.
Well, I didn't picture it like this. And a really, really funny story. And I don't know why I've said this on the podcast. So after that, we celebrated on a really nice afternoon. We're on this deserted island. We were getting this like pagoda boat all the way back to the mainland. And we went back to a load of random people because we're on this big day trip. We just got engaged. Way hugging loads of randomers, didn't know. And in Dominican Republic, they've got a drink there. And it might be universal. It's called something like marijuana.
Okay.
But not the smoky stuff. It's marijuana, right? And this guy behind the bar said, you need to drink this. It's going to give you the best time ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it made little Ricky stand up for most of the day.
Christ almighty.
So it was blue pill in a drink.
And on that note, welcome to number one golf podcast in the world. Wow.
Anyway.
Okay, I'm a bit stumped now.
It was a good day, to be honest, though.
Yeah, it sounds it. You sound very excited.
So, anyway, 6th of August. I mean, it has no relevance to what we're talking about, because this podcast is going to go live on the 10th of August.
Yes.
Which is actually, weirdly, my wife's birthday.
Happy birthday.
So, anyway, so why we're filming this early, as Guy just mentioned, I'm on holiday effectively this week, celebrating my daughter's birthday, who's the 9th of August, my wife's birthday, the 10th of August, and we're having a nice little UK trip away for a week.
Should be good. You know what, right? I love about the podcast is it's... well, a lot of things I love about it. It's all
talk,
right.
We talk about little Ricky.
Yeah, we talk about your part. It's growing all the time, which is great. People are enjoying it.
That was a seamless segue.
All right, okay, let's stop. The podcast is doing well, and obviously now we film it. So people that might be listening at home, I'm sure know by now, it's on the second channel. But you know what I hate about filming the podcast?
You have to do your hair.
Well, a little bit, but even more than that.
Don't know.
Clothes. So today, right. I put a hoodie on, very similar to what you've got on, left the house, locked the door, got out, looked down, had curry on my top somehow, right? So I had a curry hoodie. So obviously I thought, is this the back in the old days in your garage? I would just carry it on, I don't care. Yeah,
you wouldn't have minded.
So I went back in, found another hoodie, and then thought, did I wear this hoodie on the last podcast? I had to get my phone out, go on the videos, look, I did. So I couldn't wear that. So now I'm wearing my open top that I never have off. So I need more outfits, basically.
Well, welcome to the struggle of making videos and content and having little clothes. I'm still wearing my Nike clothes. I'm still waiting for a sponsor.
I know, yeah.
But honestly, anyway.
If anyone sends us some hoodies, good hoodies, we can have hoodies.
Exactly.
Like hoodies.
Exactly.
So today's show is, I was actually panicking this morning. I didn't know what we were going to talk about.
I've produced this.
You have produced it, and you've done so far, it's gone a very strange way, strange direction.
This is what happens when I get control of the reins today. Yeah, we didn't have loads to talk about, because obviously the last podcast we've actually just recorded was Monday that we've just done. But to be honest, we've had a ridiculously busy week.
We have.
And I actually had something really exciting I did yesterday, which I want to really dive into. Because I think a lot of people listening would maybe relate to what happened yesterday. But let's talk about, first off, what people would have seen. I played golf full 18 holes for the first time for a very, very long time last week.
Good.
And that video went out on Friday, which was the Break 75 Golf Bidder Challenge, which hopefully you all absolutely loved. And part two went out on Monday, which again will be out there. So you will know the result if you listen to this podcast, if you've watched both episodes. I did a lot better than I thought I was going to do.
You did well. You played pretty solid. Let's go for your club choices quickly, because obviously people would have seen them. But driver, you had the burner from 07.
Honestly, I'm not going to give that back.
Really?
I'm not going to give it back.
Do you know how much it actually costs? That's what... One thing I don't think we mentioned about each individual club. Let me have a quick look.
I think we should put it on the video.
Well, it might be out.
Honestly, I remember back in the day when that driver first came out, and it was in the era where drivers had reached their kind of maximum size, and there was a lot of drivers at that era that started experimenting with, you know, adjustable weights. I mean, the R7 was probably around that time, wouldn't it?
The R7 would have been, I think, 04. So
before the burner.
But if you remember, unless I'm incorrect, the burner was actually almost a sub-brand on it. So this would have been R9 era, I believe.
Right, so this wouldn't have been the main
No, because if you think about it, at the time, you used to have like an R, whatever that was, and then the burner would kind of sit cheap. It wasn't adjustable, was it? It was a glued head.
I remember it having tremendous success. I really do. From the alignment on top of the driver to the shaping to the sound of it to the performance, certainly the TP driver as well that came out, a slightly smaller head, slightly different shaping. There was a lot of tour players using this driver, and a lot of it kind of suited a lot of number of golfers. So when I did this challenge of spending £750 at Golf Bidder, I wanted a driver that I just knew was going to be reliable, and that thing was reliable.
You hit a couple of wayward ones that, like, jokes aside, was just bad strikes or whatever. But when you hit that well, and you mentioned this on the video, it definitely wasn't going as far as a brand new Sim 2. And it's hard to say on the course, but I'd probably say somewhere in the region, maybe 10 yards, 12, 15 at a max. But what we sometimes say is, well, when you're on the golf course, if you hit a straight golf shot, you get a nice bound of the fairway and full momentum. You kind of almost like you gain that distance back in a way.
There was two drives, especially the second and the fourth.
They were beasts.
The fourth, I've never hit a drive that good on that hole, because it's a hole that doesn't suit my eye. It's a dogleg right to left, and the whole fairway tilts from right to left. Sorry, it's a dogleg left to right, but the fairway tilts from right to left. So you've got to kind of hit this kind of cutty ball into it, and I found the middle of the fairway, 300 yards down the middle.
Off topic, but a question for you then. With this in mind, would you say that golf equipment is one of the slowest moving I'm trying to word this now. In terms of innovation, in the last 15 years, is one of the slowest moving things almost in the world. And what I'm trying to, I'm not doing this very well, what I'm trying to say is, if you've got a 2007 iPhone, the first generation compared to now, streets apart. If you've got a 2007 Apple laptop compared to now, streets apart. Think, you know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So many different things, even cars, the things they can do now, or they have built in or whatever, TVs, whatever. That tailor-made driver is from 2007, so 14 years old, and it's still so good.
I think that the biggest challenge, and this is why golf cannot evolve as much as laptops, phones, TVs, other things in the world, is because there are legal limitations.
Sure.
Like the RNA, the USGA have legal parameters that they have to set, and you have to stick to that. So golf, there was a massive race to get to those parameters, and as every single manufacturer, week in, week out, year on year, they'll say they're bringing our product out that's even closer to those thresholds. I'm not sure if we're already there. I think we're already there.
We must be.
So, you know, that driver, there was a massive jump, certainly early 2000s when titanium became a big thing and hollow-headed designs with 460cc heads. That became a massive thing. I would say the biggest evolution in the last probably 5 years, as much as drivers I don't think it's massively changed, I think the hollow-headed construction iron has been one of the biggest changing aspects.
So forgiving.
And actually today we've got a new video about some hollow-headed irons coming out, which is a new version of a very popular set, which weirdly we're talking about TaylorMade, another TaylorMade set of irons, a newer version. So I think if we look at it, what's changed the most? I think irons have changed enormously. I think golf balls have changed enormously still in that time frame. Drivers are probably kind of where the limit is going to be roughly. You're going to gain a couple of yards every few years, but nothing much. And that's whether they might even just trick it by making the head a different weight or the shaft longer. Or there's ways of tricking launch monitor data.
What's mad is I would agree with it. Drivers are almost the one that's probably moved the least, but yet that's the club that people tend to swap the most.
Yeah, it's one that people want to swap the most.
Every 3-4 years, you want to get a new driver. But actually, then that just proves, doesn't it, that you use a driver for... Well, you can say what you shot. You shot, what was in the end?
One
over par with a driver that was... I mean, and also as well, just to before anyone, these clubs aren't bad golf clubs. It's not you're going out and play with a horrendous set.
Exactly.
They're very good quality clubs. Just a lot of them are older. And it just proves that you can go out and play with good clubs if they're old. If you have old clubs and you can't afford to get new ones or you don't want to, whatever, that's fine. Like, this just shows you can play golf. Decent golf, good golf with old stuff.
And they weren't fitted to me.
No.
They were just close to my spec, but not on my spec. Really fun challenge. I'm glad to get another 75 in. I'm glad to play golf again. Mm. I really enjoyed it. And there was definitely aspects of my game that I felt had improved.
What a lovely segue into what I was going to come on to next, your wedge play. In the last 18 months, I want you to use one word to describe your wedge play.
I think it would be bleeped out on the podcast. I think
do it,
I think,
and then Matt can bleep
I think
out.
We'd be taken off air if I said what I think. It's been...
Yeah, that's a bleep.
I could have said worse. It's been...
Sorry, this is ridiculous.
So my short game, out, my short game has been less than great.
It's been, yeah.
And you know what? It's my own fault.
Why?
I don't practice.
But it's confidence as well. You don't practice irons that much.
I know. Yeah, that's true. That is true. I just feel like with certainly the short shots, and if let's say, you're right, if a bit of confidence lacks and whatever, and then you neglect it, mm-hmm. and you forget about it.
The snowball, isn't it?
Yeah, and you brush all those issues under the rug, which is probably what I've been doing over the last 18 months. It's not great. So more recently, I've been spending a bit more time learning about my wedge play, kind of trying to practice more, and trying to love my wedges again. Mm. I'm looking at potentially some new wedges. I've got potentially some new Vokies I might put in the bag, or some new Pings, or some new Callaway wedges. I'm not sure what direction wedges I go just yet. But technique I've been working on, little ways of practicing I've been working on. And you know what? Very quickly, my confidence level is increasing.
Yes.
It's not there yet, but it's most certainly moving up the ranks.
We had a good chipping comp at Woburn on that ridiculous chipping area, which is just out of this world. I wish we just took some videos, just to even insert it. We didn't get anything in the end, but it was such a good area. And you were chipping as well as I've seen you chip for ages. And you were just confident through the ball. Yeah. You have like more speed. You commit to it, I think it's probably the word. I literally see your technique change on the golf course because you can't commit. And on hole 18 of that 75, you were probably going to put it now. And I was like, use a wedge, come on, be brave. And you nipped it, class.
Yeah, it's class.
So that then, I think you need to use wedge more, even when it probably would be a putter.
Yeah.
Hit a few good ones, get that confidence back. I think you'll get it back.
And I, like I say, a little bit of technique, a little bit of understanding, maybe some new wedges that are suited to me slightly better with different grinds or bounces, a slightly different wedge setup. I mean, even that Cleveland wedge I used in the video, I loved it. Mm. Like, really nice. And even I pitched on the second hole like that 50, 60 yarder. That's not my favourite shot, and hit it lovely. And even the ones I hit not great were still pretty good. Like my wedge shot on 17, the when I chipped it out of the trees, was class. I really like that one. Just missed the putt. But I think if my wedge play can improve, I honestly think the rest of my game improves really quickly.
It sounds obvious. It's all connected, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you hit a bomb drive if you know that your wedge play is good, right? It means you can bomb a driver and risk putting it in the rough. And if you then hit your run out of the rough to the side of the green, you get up and down still. So, yeah. Like, whereas at the minute you've lost that confidence around the side of the green, you've got to almost think more about every shot before that, haven't you? Because you can't almost trust your wedge play.
It's amazing, obviously. Some of the, maybe not JCB, one of the really long golf courses, but a lot of golf courses I play, I'm hitting wedges into greens a lot. And if I could hit my wedges half the distance on every hole towards the hole closer, like, you give yourself so many looks at... Because I've had a bit of criticism recently about how my putting's not great, but my putting's not great because I'm always 30 feet away from the hole. If I was 10 feet away from the hole, well, my putting would be a lot better because I'd give myself much more chances of holding them.
For people listening then, they're in a similar boat, and I'm probably in a similar boat with driving. I'm just no confidence whatsoever. What tip would you give to people listening to how do they build confidence? Is it just hit more balls?
No, there's definitely one thing that I've... kind of what's the right wording monitoring my success a bit more. So you've been with me when I've done the cone things up to 60 yards and writing down my numbers. So I've been trying to pitch balls at 10 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards, 50 yards, 60 yards, and then back again, and then doing six random ones and working out how far away it is from those targets and just writing it down. Like, sometimes, like, if I've got a score I'm trying to beat 50 at the moment. Some days I don't do great, but some days I do really, really good. And it's just learning, like, hitting those shots and writing something down. Like, I actually saw today on Twitter, I'm actually going to see if the lad will send me one. It's like a logbook. It's like a logbook of when you practice. And you know what? When I look back at the times where I've played the best golf, I've probably monitored my progress much more. Mm. Like, when I was a junior, I used to do so many stats.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, loved it. Loved it. When I went to college, bar the drinking, late nights, and women.
Women.
The thing that we used to do a lot of was the logging. Logging how many, what practice you were doing, what were your results from your practice, how could you improve from it.
I didn't think you'd do that.
Yeah, I quite like that.
All right, fair dues.
Because I'm quite analytical in weird ways. Like, I like looking at our, like, YouTube stats and stuff like that. So
that makes sense.
I think it's more, I get addicted to the process.
Yeah.
So I think with people practicing, aimlessly going to the driving range and just hitting balls, that's another thing for me personally. I've not been to a driving range for ages in the summer.
No.
Because when was the last time we went Trafford?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Because we're out on the golf course. Like, that, I think that's something that more golfers should do more, is get out on the course, enjoy it more, practice when they can out on the golf course instead of potentially going to the driving range all the time.
I've always been a big advocate of playing, kind of practicing on the golf course and dropping. I know a lot of courses are not supposed to drop extra balls down, but drop a few down. It's more real, isn't it? I've got a dear Rick for you. So before we come on to your trip yesterday, which is quite a good story, I'm interested to know more. You've told me some nuggets, but I'm using your words now. Not that many nuggets. This dear Rick is from Chris. He said we can use his first name, maybe not his surname. So, first of all, love the show. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
What a way to get your email read. It's that simple. The person that sent one in the other day and called me Ferret Face as a title was good, got me attention. So if you want to slag me off, it's fine, because it will get me attention. So a good title would be for an email.
Wow.
Please sack guy, and I'll definitely read the email.
Wow. You get a lot of that now. Yeah. Is that what you're trying to do to yourself?
I weirdly like it in a way. I don't know. So I'm saying I like it now until it comes the way I get slagged off and then cry to you on the phone. But anyway, I have something for Dear Rick, a section of the podcast. I'm relatively new to golf. I've dabbled in the past, but only joined a golf club and started taking it seriously in March. One thing that stopped me joining the club for so long was that I can't play on weekends because of my kids. So this is really in your world, this at the minute, Rick. COVID actually helped with that, as I now play after work midweek because I'm working from home, so there's less commuting. I bet so many people are in this boat.
Yeah.
One issue is finding people to play with can be difficult. When I joined my golf club, I found someone in a similar place as me, and I played with him. When I started, I was pretty rubbish most of the time, but could put together a decent round once in a while. I got an initial handicap of 26, and with an odd okay round, I kept it at that level. Since then, I've had lessons and started to improve, and recently it's all coming together, which is obviously great. The issue is that the friend can't play as much now, and I can't find another member to easily play with when I can. So therefore, I can't submit my scores to the new handicap system.
Yeah.
So obviously now in the UK, we didn't have this before, we can go out and play a friendly round with another member and put your score in for handicap purposes. Because he's not doing that, his handicap's still 26, but realistically it should be lower. I've had a few 42-point rounds of 26, and recently this week I got to 45 points Stableford, so 900 handicap. None of which I could submit because I was playing on my own. So my question is, what happens now if I want to start to enter the odd competition? What's the etiquette here? Realistically, my handicap now represents me on a bad day rather than a decent day. So should I mention something to the comp organisers? Part of me thinks it's unfair and others not to, but another part of me thinks if I submit my rounds... you get where I'm going with this one. The problem isn't going to go away, and I can see the situation where most of the rounds count towards my handicaps are going to be comps, and my handicap should come down, but he's worried he's going to have a monster round and win. So basically, he wants your advice. What would other members think if I won a comp with 45 points? Would people complain? It's a fairly modern club, but there are still some stuffy people there.
What a dilemma to be in, eh?
I know, too good.
My heart bleeds for you. it's kind of quite a unique position to be in. And I think there's one thing to take off straight away is if you go out and shoot 45, yes, you'll probably be the talk of the town that week. Everyone will forget about you next week.
Yep.
In like the nicest way. You'll be getting called a bandit. You'll get a bit of stick. You can't really stop that. That's just what happens at golf clubs. It's not always great, but that's what happens. But by next week goes, your handicap gets caught and everything's balanced back in the world again. You can go to the handicap secretary and mention it.
Yep.
I think they would do something about it. Because I think you still dock people in general play, can't you?
Yeah, so... Well, I think you'd have to...
We'll actually know more next week, won't we?
Well, yeah, we should do.
We've got an exciting podcast coming next week, which will dive into the world handicap system much, much more. But if you went to your handicap secretary or your pro or the secretary of the club and said, listen, I'm going to hold my hands up. I'm playing off 15, but I'm actually playing better than that at the moment. I want to play in a comp. I think realistically I should be off 12. I think they would happily cut you to 12 if they have the power to do so.
Yeah.
So either do that, go out and play and shoot the lights out, walk around with your head held high, and it's not your fault. You're going to get a bit of stick, but you'll be getting forgotten about next week. You get your name on a nice board or a nice trophy. Again, it's maybe not the perfect thing to do. I think in Chris's situation, he should go to the golf club and hold his hands up and go, listen, guys, I think I'm playing better than what I am. Can you do something about it? Because I don't want to get called a bandit. I want to make friends here. And me going out and shooting 45 points is probably not going to be the best thing in the world.
Can I give a different opinion?
Go for it.
Just to keep it balanced. I'm sure from what Chris, it sounds like a nice guy, he's written the email really well. And from having lessons and practicing more, I'm sure he's improving. That's exactly what we want to see. People obviously having lessons, practicing and getting better at golf. The only thing I would say is to counter this, I'd be interested to know two things. Well, firstly, is he playing off the same tees when he's going out playing these rounds in the comps?
Good question.
And also, I don't want to, in any remote way, I was going to say almost the word scare him, I'm not sure I won't scare him, but playing on your own, 18 holes, is quite different to playing a comp. Yeah. Certainly people that you don't know.
I always play best on my own.
Of course you do. Because if he, again, I'm sure he's got ability, clearly how to shoot 900 handicap, but if he tees up in a comp off the white tees, it's, you know, a lot of people about, to bet people, like at my old club, right on the first tee, there's like a bit of a conservatory, there's people crowd around, so on a Saturday comp, everyone's watching. They're not really bothered, but they're still watching. Yeah. It's that bit of nerves. And obviously, typically in comp days, the pins might be a little bit tighter, etc. So he actually might find, I wish he, hope he doesn't, but he might find that actually when he plays in the comp, you might not shoot quite as well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So if you go and get your handicap chop now, you might get into a comp and think, actually, I do need the 26 or need the 24.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's worth just maybe playing a comp. And if you win it, amazing. But just, you know.
Yeah, he's going into it, driving to the golf course with Rocky music playing in, through his car stereo. But there's no guarantees in life, is there?
No, it's definitely different in a comp. And certainly, you shouldn't do, and this is, I'd definitely try and give advice not to, but sometimes playing people you don't know, you do feel more nervous. If he gets pitched up in a comp with a guy off scratch, a guy off five, and a guy off 10,
yeah,
he might start getting a bit nervous. Exactly. His score might not be that good. So it's just...
What did you say? There's three guarantees in life.
Yeah.
Death, taxes, and Rick putting off the green.
Yes. That's, yeah.
But maybe not anymore. Who knows?
I'd like to see you not doing as much, but you'll get there.
I'd also like to not pay taxes, but hey. So yesterday,
yes,
we chat about it. Yes. So it was a really fun day yesterday. So this was Thursday, the 5th of August. It was the JCB Ladies. Well, it's like the rate. Oh, buddy, I'll get my words out, Rick. It was the Rose Ladies Series, which is hosted by Kate Rose, who is Justin Rose's wife, and it started last year when COVID all kicked in. And quite simply, there was no ladies golf happening.
No Ladies European Tour or whatever.
Nothing. And Justin's manager, Kay, and Justin kind of came together and said, well, let's set something up in the UK where we can at least offer a one-day tournament. I think it's 6 or 8 rounds at really, really nice golf courses.
And is it decent money? It's obviously it's professional golfers.
Professional golfers. First place yesterday won 10 grand.
Oh, wow. That's good then.
So it's much better than local golf events that that maybe the PGA golf women would play in.
Yeah.
It's not quite, obviously, LET, but it's probably some power with maybe Access Tour, potentially. So last year was super successful. They played, like, you had some big, big names playing it last year, like Georgia Hall and Charlie Hull and Carly Booth and a lot of big names. And they've dropped back into playing some of these when they can. But obviously, this week's a really weird week because there's Women's Olympics.
Yeah.
There's the Aramco Ladies Series at Sotogrande in Spain, right, which a lot of the ladies are playing at. And then unfortunately, I think this week's just bad time in the Rose Ladies Series, probably playing third fiddle. But there's still a massive field in it.
Yeah.
I think there's like 80 women. And this week, they've played at Hillside on Monday. Amazing golf course.
Yes.
They break 75 there. Oh, actually, they played 3 courses we did break 75
on. What was the next one?
Birkdale.
Yes.
Amazing golf course. And then JCB.
That's mad. I played 2 of them.
And then, oh yeah. And then next week, they're playing at Craigielaw, which I think, is that in Scotland?
Yes.
So that might be this weekend. So anyway, this JCB one, when we played with Mark, or when I played with Mark at JCB in the last break 75 that we did, he mentioned it and he said it'd be great to give it a bit of a shout out because we're actually having spectators. We're going to try and get 1,500 spectators there. It's £10 for adults and free for kids.
Nice.
And I said to Mark, well, you know what? Summer holidays, I'll come down with the kids. I'll come down with the family. And he very nicely looked after us, gave us nice VIP passes, which was lovely. Claire thought she was the be-all and the bee's knees.
Was she a bit of a wag vibe?
She was very wagging it,
was
yeah.
Was she?
Yeah, she loved
it.
In
what sense?
Nice big flowy dress, did all the makeup,
sunglasses.
Did her hair, sunglasses. She was like, yeah, in fact, if people spot you, I want to look nice on the
fair
side.
Enough. She looked nice on the picture.
She looked
part.
Very nice, she did. But more importantly, I took my kids.
Yes.
For the first ever golf event.
Tell everyone the ages of your kids then, so they can...
So soon to be, as I mentioned, a lot of the birthdays are coming up soon. 2 of August, 1 of September. Soon to be 7, 5, and 3.
So when you told me you're going to this, I thought, firstly, this is a lovely trip for the family. I also thought you're going to come back and there's no middle ground. You're going to come back and say they absolutely loved it, or knowing what you normally tell me about your kids, you're going to come back and say it was an absolute disaster and you wish you'd not gone.
Well, there's one of my kids that definitely tests me, but as many people know, it's the middle child for if people
like,
got three
kids. I wish she was sat in the back of the buggy, by the way. You just chucked her in there.
Oh, this was so funny. I'll tell you this in a minute.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So I think what helped sell it was Ivy, my eldest, is definitely starting to show signs of interest in sports in nice. General. Certainly with the Olympics being on.
Yep.
Like, she's loving what... I mean, we've been watching everything still. This last week, we've literally been watching... And it's amazing. Normally, when I flick on the TV, the kids will go, stick a silly cartoon yep. on, or can we watch YouTube Kids, or whatever it may be. Can we watch Peter Finch on YouTube?
You beat me to it. I was literally going to say that then.
Like, and I'll go, no, kids, no, you're not. No, but obviously, they'll watch what they enjoy watching, right? Yeah. The last 2 weeks has been amazing because every time I flick the TV on, it's gone straight onto BBC One or the iPlayer or whatever. Mm. They've not even asked for cartoons
just
or anything.
Straight away.
Like, they don't care what it is. And I don't know, because I'm watching it with them and I'm commentating on it with them rather than when they've got cartoons on. Mm-hmm. There's one really funny cartoon called Bluey. It's really funny. It's from Australia. If parents have...
Sound like the pill you had before you went about.
It does sound a bit dodgy, doesn't it? But it's really, really, really funny cartoon. But apart from that, I don't watch any of the cartoons they watch, obviously. And but I feel like I'm really engaged with them. It's I'm just loving bonding time watching... Mm-hmm. skateboarding or sailing or swimming or golf or just anything. It's amazing.
So they're getting a book for sports. You then thought, let's get them to the JCB.
Well, it just kind of worked in nicely.
Yeah.
So when I mentioned it to Ivy, my eldest, I was like, should we go to, we're going to a golf event this week? And she was like, oh my goodness, like, will there be really famous golfers there? And I went, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going.
And she said, are you playing, Daddy? I said, no, it's actually just ladies only. She's like, oh wow, so I can get to... Honestly, loved it, right?
Really?
My youngest boy, I've only got one. My boy, as soon as I told him there's going to be diggers there.
He was sold.
Like, he loves diggers. He loves anything that's wheel-based, right? So I said, dude, there's going to be big diggers there. There's going to be... He's like, oh, my God, I get to ride him. I said, no, not really. And don't swear. No. And then my middle child was just whatever. She wasn't that bothered. So and my wife was kind of a bit wary.
In what sense?
Just because it's like, do we have to be quiet?
Yes. Like, what will work?
What they're going to do?
Yeah.
Where they're going to eat? Like, more for the kids. Like, are they going to be bored? Like, because it was about an hour and a half journey to get down there, and we got stuck in a little bit of traffic as well. But it was more hesitation because she'd never been to a golf event.
Do you think for people that don't play golf or have a kind of mid interest that a golf event could be a daunting thing to go to?
She was asking questions that I'd almost forgot. I reckon I would have asked when I first went to a golf event.
Yeah.
Like, because you don't know.
Like, what do you wear as well? Like,
what do you wear?
Golf shoes.
What's the footwear? Is it going to be muddy? Is it going to be wet? Obviously, the weather and things you can't predict. But, you know, how far are we parked away from the golf course? Yeah. Like, how do we get there? Like, what's... Just all sorts of different things. Like, can I talk? Can I have my phone there?
Yeah.
Can I take a camera? Like, all things that I almost take for granted and you do, because we've been to multiple golf events. Somebody's never been to one.
Well,
no,
I remember
idea.
Tubes texted me the day before the Open. He was going with his brother. I said, do I have to wear golf clothes?
Because he's never been to a golf event.
Well, it's a good question. You don't, obviously, but you'd ask, wouldn't you?
Because, again, if you go into Royal St. George's for the Open, you think, oh, is it going to be really strict dress code?
Yeah.
And, like, say, going to JCB, is it going to be really strict dress code? Like, she was saying, what do I need to wear for the clubhouse and things like that? Yeah. So that was really interesting. So anyway, we got down there. We honestly did get looked after really nicely. It was a lovely experience. And... before we'd really watched a much golf, we had a bit of lunch, which was lovely, and we were backing onto the driving range, and I took Ivy out to watch some golf, just even on the driving range, and it almost felt like a real light bulb moment. Like, just there, she was watching a woman hit a shot. Unfortunately, I didn't catch the lady's name, and she was just ripping it, right? And Ivy was like, Wow. Oh, my goodness. That's nearly hit the house at the back of the driving range. Flying. She couldn't at first. She had no idea because she was, like, looking down.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when kids hit, they look down, don't they? And I was showing her. I was like, no, it's up there. Can you notice it up there? And because we were stood really far back and it was a lovely open day and it was a nice sky, she could really see the ball fly.
That's good.
And she could hear the sound of, whether it was coming from a woman or I just felt like she looked at it like, I felt like in that moment she fell in love with golf, which was amazing, really.
Do you think, she might be too young, but do you think because it was a woman it might have meant more to her, or do you think it would really make a difference?
Well, she's seen me hit shots before. Not that impressed.
Probably the strike's different though, isn't it? Dad, where's that one gone? That's gone left out of bounds, sorry.
But yeah, like, I think it's because I could stand there with her, showing her the golf shot.
It's like you're together, a bit like watching Olympics, you're together, absorbing it almost.
Where me hitting a golf shot and her watching, I can't show her where the ball's gone.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Do you get what I mean? It's not as easy. So I think she just fell in love with that straight away, and Pearl was doing cartwheels on the driving range and this, that, and the other, and Judah was running around. So they weren't that bothered just yet. And we went to the putting green around the other side of the clubhouse, and again, they were watching it. They wanted to go on it. That was one thing. They just wanted to go on the grass and everything else. And I was saying, you can't. And again, they were just in awe. Like how we'd been watching the Olympics, sat there on the sofa, me going, oh, check this out. Notice what they're doing there. Did you see that? Oh, how cool was that? Oh, they got 10 out of 10 for that.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be in the Olympics, it was really nice. I was stood by the side of the driving range, and certainly my eldest daughter, Ivy, like I was saying, do you think she's going to get that shot in? And it might have been a 6-foot putt. And she's like, oh, no, it didn't go in. And I'll say to her, just did you notice how it looked like it curved to one side? Or did you notice how it had a little bit too much speed and it went past the hole? And she went, oh, yeah. She went, will she get the next one in? I was like, I think so, because it's so close to the hole.
Did you understand this was practice as well then? This was,
at this point, I explained to her, this is a practice putting green.
You get loose, etc.
So here, you don't have to be quiet.
Yeah.
You can talk. But if we go out on the golf course, you've got to be quiet. So when we, because they're playing for money and they're playing, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And again, my eldest daughter was really taking this on board. And I feel like my middle daughter, my youngest daughter, sorry, Pearl, kind of doesn't feel like she's listening, but she picks up a lot.
Yeah.
So she was picking up bits without really me needing to talk to her. Jude was just obsessed about diggers and stuff. So anyway, before again, we even watched any proper live golf out on the golf course. We went to this little village, this kind of, there was only like a burger van, an ice cream van, a little shop. I'd bought the two girls a little JCB hat from the shop.
I saw that.
And two marker pens. Unfortunately, Jude didn't have a size that fitted him in the colour that he wanted, because there was a dark blue one, but obviously having signatures on that was pointless. And I said, let's get some signatures from some of the ladies, right? And oh my God, the fact of just that act, think about that. I tell them every day, you don't draw on your clothes. Like, they're not hard to draw on the clothes, are they? Well, I'm now giving them a hat and a marker pen and saying, I want you to actively ask people to write on your hat. How mad is that? Yeah. It's just a little thing, isn't it? You forget.
Do you think, you almost sometimes think that like signatures have died off a bit, but actually in that kind of moment, it's quite meaningful, isn't it? There's something about it.
Certainly that age.
Yeah.
I think as they get older into teenagers, they want selfies and stuff. But I think at that age, not after selfies, they want something tangible.
To keep that.
So we went down to this little village, and there was a really nice little setup where Golf Foundation had some like hitting nets and some practice areas. And again, what was lovely, every single one of the instructors was a woman.
That's good.
So again, it's not something you see when you go to the Open. You'll see a mixture, men, women,
it's normally coaching, mostly men.
But it's a majority of men. So I walked over and said, you know, the girls would love to have a go. Because, again, parents will relate to this. It's hard to teach your own kids.
I can imagine, yeah.
They just don't listen. Like, and people will, I've seen it online, God, your kids are going to be the best golfers in the world. And I'm thinking, they don't, because they don't really listen to me. Like, they just don't. Kids don't listen to the parents.
It's that almost different voice of someone that they don't know. They almost want to be well-behaved more, don't they?
Really respectful. It's like if I'm teaching the girls maths or English or whatever, they'll listen to the teacher way more than they'll listen to me, because I'm just dad or mum or whatever. So we signed them up for having a little go, and the women there were lovely. I think one was called Evie and one was called Olivia. They were just lovely with the kids.
These girls know who you were?
They did, yeah. They said, oh, this is dead weird, like, we watch all your videos. Can we fangirl and have a picture after we've done this? I think whether I got a better treatment, but I don't think I did, because I saw a lot of other kids there that were getting similar lovely treatment. Honestly, no word of a lie, guy, we were on there for 45 minutes comfortably. I had to drag him off, kicking and screaming.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet you were loving that, though, weren't you?
Loving it. Like, we got a bit of a breather. Me and Claire chilled out and had a coffee.
You must have loved to see them once. If they'd have said, oh, I'm bored, you'd be a bit like, oh, the fact they loved it is good.
Loved it. And they're just a little challenges. It wasn't revolutionary, but it just kept them entertained. Yeah. And I think because they'd just seen it on the driving range, they'd just seen it on the putting green with the professional women hitting golf shots, on site to be able to do it there and then was really important.
Yeah.
And it makes me realise, like, when we go to the Open, I don't quite understand people who go and have a quick golf lesson or a quick hit. You know, in like...
At the Open?
Yeah.
But what? Why don't you understand
just
it?
Just because... I don't know. I've...
You wouldn't do it yourself?
It doesn't make me want to hit golf shots. Going,
oh, yeah.
It does afterwards.
Yeah.
But not on site. And that might... Go on.
It's possibly because some people have never had access to a lesson. So if it's a free 10 minutes and they might change something.
Well,
like,
that's it.
Game changer.
But that's what made me realise how important those stations are.
Yeah.
Like for kids, like the Golf Foundation do a great job where they set up this amazing kind of space where kids can go and hit it. And if they've just been on the driving range watching Bryson or Brooks or Jordan Spieth or whoever, Matsuyama, that was a random mix of names, wasn't it? They can now just go and straight into somewhere and hit golf shots. They're golfers now. And I just loved it. So anyway, they absolutely loved the little practice. They got a little sweets and everything else. So I thought, you know what? We might not see many, many lady golfers because by the 18th hole, you're probably not going to get many signatures. So I asked all the women pros who was teaching the kids to sign the hats.
Oh, but that's quite good.
Because I thought, well, I just thought, let's just stick to one rule. As long as it's a woman player, golfer, sign the hat. Yeah. Why not? Doesn't matter. The kids aren't going to massively know. Oh my God, the kids loved it.
Really?
They loved it. They were walking around with that, like not wearing the hat anymore, looking at the names. Look at that. Like, look how she's written that. And what was her name?
You, I don't know.
I was like, I don't know. What does that say? But it was honestly really, really lovely. They had an ice cream and they just had the best time. Bear in mind, we hadn't seen any tournament golf yet.
Yeah.
We haven't seen anything.
Do you think you could have almost gone at this point and then have loved it or not? Like, that would have been...
100%. Yeah, 100%. I don't think we needed to see tournament golf.
Were the spectators mostly women within a women's event or...?
This was another thing I definitely saw more of. Like, when we went to Royal St. George's at the Open, yeah, I got spotted a few times and had pictures, but I'd say 90-plus of those were male. 90%.
Oh, yeah.
Of male. Probably 99%.
I think there's one girl got a picture.
Like 99% of the fans that came up to me at Royal St. George's at the Open were male.
Well, that correlates with the audience, really, doesn't it? Most people that watch are male. We can see that from the stats.
There at the Ladies Open, whether more ladies went and watched it, I would say it was borderline 50-50.
Really?
The fans that were male and female wanting pictures. And kids, male and female kids, like little boys, little girls. Like, amazing.
What did your kids say when people were asking you for a picture?
Oh, they found it really strange.
Did they say, what did they
say? And my
wife
found it really strange because she's seen it a few times. If, let's say, like, I've been spotted a few times at like a garden centre or out shopping or on holiday. And we went to Nando's that night, even when we got home, and we got spotted twice in Nando's, which was dead weird. But like, she's seen that side of it. But this was like a completely different level. Like it was almost every few minutes, which I love. And the people I did meet was amazing. Thank you so much. And I'm glad that only 10 people asked me for a £50 note.
Which obviously you delivered.
Obviously I delivered. So it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Why don't people not? I don't. People that get a picture ask free money.
So she found it a bit strange. But the kids almost wanted to get on the picture, which was a bit weird. Like because certainly if I had Pearl on my shoulders. And people were dead respectful and they said, oh, I'm really sorry, Rick. I know you're with your family. Can I get a picture? And I'd say, not a problem. So I'd have to obviously take Pearl off my shoulder because I don't really need her in the picture. Move her out the way, shove her out the way. And but then she'd wanted to be like stood in front of me, wanting to get on the picture. She didn't quite understand. And then when we were walking off, she's like, what was his name, Daddy? And I was like, oh, I'm not actually sure. I try and ask people's name sometimes, but not all the time. I'm like,
John Subscriber.
She went, is he your friend? And I went,
well, yeah, if he's in the clubhouse, he's my friend.
A lot of people did say they're in the clubhouse, actually. A lot of people asked for you.
Well, I keep them waiting for their next year.
Mine got
lost in the post, weirdly.
You were working.
Yeah.
So then we went on the golf course. So Mark, the general manager there, very nicely gave us a buggy because that was something they were desperate to go in. Oh, my God.
Golf buggies are good, though, aren't they?
They were desperate to go in a golf buggy.
Did they let them steer a little bit?
Yeah. So Pearl, who's tiny... even though she's 5 next week, she's so small. She sat in the little basket at the back.
I saw that.
She
so
climbed
funny.
In herself into that basket. It was mad. Pearl had one kid on her knee. Claire had one child on her knee. I had the other. And we drove up to 17th Green. And just the most beautiful hole in the world. And there was a massive tractor on the championship tee, the back tee, because the ladies were just playing a couple of tees forward. Oh my God, Jude was literally just like staring at it like it was the best thing in the world.
Really?
And I was like looking behind it going, like, this is one of the best holes in the world. So we stood there for a bit, watched some shots. And like, even the questions, like Ivy was saying, can you get it over that water, Daddy? I was like, well, I'll try. If you've not seen the videos that I did from Break 75, but like, the women, like, we were hitting it most of the time. It was very windy yesterday, actually. Most of the time, comfortably over the water, obviously. They're very, very good golfers.
What were they hitting onto that then?
We didn't go all the way down to the tee. It was probably about maybe 2 or 3 tees ahead of where we played from at 250.
Right.
So probably play near a 190, yeah. Potentially. They were hitting like hybrids, 5 woods, long irons, let's say.
It's a tough hole, that.
So thing. Hard. And then, like, we saw some golf shots go in the water. And again, it's the questions that Ivy asked, like, what happens now? Like, I was like, oh, that's a really good question. So because it's gone in the water, that's a penalty. So they've now got to go down to a drop zone, drop a golf ball. That's now adding a shot, and then hit another one. And they were like, what happens to the golf ball in the water? And it's like, just like daft questions. Yeah. You know, not daft questions, just interesting questions. So anyway, we drove up to the 18th green because I thought if we're going to get signatures for hats, that's going to be the place we go. And we probably watched about 3 groups. It was just a bit challenging to keep them all quiet because that's where when you're watching on an 18th green and there was a lot of people there, but not
you've
hundreds.
You've got to put for 10 grand.
That's what I mean. Jeez,
digger.
Can I drive it? I want to drive the digger.
That was just Rick. Yeah. That's what Jude was saying.
I actually bought me a little JCB, loved it.
I feel like, by the way, if you went out with your kids for a day trip, they could rinse you for some good money.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
I want a digger. Don't want a hat. Done.
Just keeps them quiet. Whatever keeps them quiet.
How many ice creams? Did you all have an ice cream?
Well, I didn't, annoyingly, because I got whisked off to have a quick meeting. I was working. And so Claire was left with the kids. And the ice cream store looked amazing. But big problem, it was, for adults, it would have been great. But for kids, they eat slow. And it was melting really quick. So they had a bit of a disaster. I think Jude dropped it and whatever. So anyway, we sat by the 18th green. I very nicely got chatting with Kate Rose, who's Justin's wife. And my kids were super cuddly. They were cuddling Kate Rose and this, that. And it was dead nice. Anyway, about 3 groups came off the 18th green. So we were there for about half an hour. And everything, I went up to Ivy and Pearl, go and get your hat signed. Go and get your hat signed. They loved it. And let me pull up a name because she was really, really lovely. One of the ladies who is called, where is her name? Oh, that's going to annoy me. Give me 1 second. I put it on my Instagram.
If anyone's
story.
Watching the video for a couple of minutes then when you were talking, I was looking at my, did you see, I was looking at my laptop quite intensely.
Yeah.
I was listening to you, but my car's also in for a MOT today and it got a text and needs some new tyres. So I had to just sort that as well. If anyone comments in, I wasn't looking at you.
So, Kirsten Rudgelly. Okay.
Yeah.
It was lovely. So she finished and she is from Perth. Like our really good friends, Min Woo Lee.
Oh, yeah.
And Minji Lee.
Very good friend.
And she said, oh, you did those videos with Min Woo. This was after. I said, really? Oh, yeah. She went, oh, that's where I grew up playing. So she was Australian playing in this. But before that, my daughter went running up to her. She signed the hat and Kirsten gave her a glove.
Oh, nice.
And a golf ball.
Nice.
And Kate Rose actually took a picture of that happening, put it on her social media saying, this is the great to see so many young girls being inspired by these professionals. And I thought, she's captivated the day. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yep.
She has absolutely nailed it. My kids are going away from yesterday's tournament loving golf a lot more.
That's what you want. Question then for you. In a sentence or less, this is the tricky part. How would, for people that have children, which I'm sure a lot of listeners do, who want to get them into golf, might not be fortunate enough to have an event like that locally or whatever it might be. Again, what's the one thing you would advise to get your kids to have an interest in golf?
100% make it fun.
Make it fun.
Like, I think that is, and that's something I've always really tried to do, but just watching my kids yesterday having the lessons with the Golf Foundation. It wasn't technical. They were holding it a bit wrong or whatever. There was a tiny bit of where to stand, what we're aiming at. Bar that, it was fun. Just
swing it, hit it, and see what happens.
There was none, you know, and that's one thing I definitely have seen at driving ranges where a parent will take the kid and expect too much from him. Expect them to hold it with an interlocking finger and the correct posture and to have a takeaway in P3 that looks like Justin Rose. And you just can't do that. I think kids are very, very good at copying adults. And I think if you demonstrate, if you hit golf shots, they will pick up so much without you even realizing. And apart from that, just make it fun. Fun challenges. Make it easy at first. So that, you know, even that the Golf Foundation had these big, massive clubs and massive balls, and it's not straight into I've chopped you down a 7-iron blade that I used to use when I was whatever, and a proper Pro V1. Like these, it was just really, really fun. So that all
sounds like
in
a great
all,
day.
It, honestly, it was mega. And like I say, cheeky Nando's after, and even this morning. So I'm gonna show you this picture, and we might, in fact, can we zoom in on this if we can. Even this morning, so the girls got up and I was moosing around, making a breakfast or whatever. I went into the living room, and who do you think had the hat on, the lanyard, and the golf ball?
Who do I think? Ivy.
Pearl,
wow.
So considering, can you see that? Considering, I thought she was the one that probably wasn't as interested. Look at what's happened. Like, she's woke up today wearing the hat. The golf ball that Kirsten gave her and the little lanyard.
It sounds like it was a very worthwhile trip.
Hopefully in many, many more, many, many ways. But yeah, thank you so much for Mark for inviting us. Well done for Kate Rose for an amazing event. Well done for the Golf Foundation. I probably just don't give them enough credit, but they do a great job of getting young golfers into golf. That's how I started doing junior coaching through the Golf Foundation. I started going out to schools and stuff and using like the easy to hit clubs and the massive targets and stuff. It was amazing, and hopefully they continue it. And who knows, they might be playing in the Rose Lady Series in 20 years. Well, less than that, 15 years.
Enjoyed that story. I felt like I was there with you. I was picturing it.
It was a lot better than I expected.
Good.
Are we done?
I don't know. Matt, I can hear a noise in my headphones. Can you hear that or not? No, okay. I feel like I've been a bit of a hum. How long are we in? 50 minutes. Well, I've got, just quickly then to end on, I've done a thing on my Instagram, Rick, asking for questions for the podcast. So I've got some questions, some ridiculously stupid ones, but they're sometimes the ones that I like. First one is, what's happening in this Rick and Pete match?
If I can get my short game dialed in. Well, actually, I'm in a group with Pete Carter, Matt Fryer, and me. We all might be in the same country at a venue coming soon. So that might be the first video, and then me and Pete later. But also, isn't he injured or something?
I think he's got a bad back. Yeah, wrist or something. This is a question for you. I don't know your answer. Out of Rick or Guy, who has the higher golfing talent?
Don't know. Me?
Yeah. Nice. Who won the chipping comp at Woburn when we had three different chipping comps?
Are these all questions from you?
That was a question from me just then. That was me. I won 3-0.
You won the chipping comp. I think you're trying to boost my confidence.
Your confidence is there, but then if I want to beat you, I can knock it straight away. So I can build you up when I want you to be built up, and then just go, you're going to thin this, mate. Does Rick prefer to load or unload the dishwasher?
Load, 100%.
Yeah, I'm very much load.
100%. Who likes to unload, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't. Someone's asked this as well. Somebody said, why is your podcast jingle in a closing advert? Someone else said that to me. Well, the reason will be because you pay a small fee and you get access to loads of tunes, don't you? So somebody's
so it's basically royalty-free. It's like a royalty-free soundtrack.
Any future Tour Pro collaborations lined up?
Don't know.
This is a really good one now. Well, yeah, we don't know.
I feel like there is some. There's a series I want to do, but it might be harder this year. We might look into it next year now. But also, I mean, this is very premature, and we don't know the result. But have you noticed our man Poulter's doing pretty well already? Wow. I don't like to say that I was in his presence for 10 minutes a couple of weeks ago, but he seems to be doing pretty well over in Memphis.
He's been on tour now since 2000. He's won, 9 PGA tournaments or something. He was grinding his... Oh, just grinding all day, and then he sees you and he's now doing well. So it's just obviously what it is.
Obviously.
What's next for Rick Shields? Podcast tick, YouTube tick. What's the next project? We actually had something the other day in the group chat that could, in a years.
Oh yeah, wow. That would be epic. Yeah, there's lots left to explore. We've not conquered golf, social media, the world just yet. So watch this space.
So the Rick Shields Museum is what we're thinking of. And all the clubs from all the videos are going to be in. You want to do that one day. That would be good.
I'd like all the clubs from videos. That's why I've got so many of them. Like all in like archive, like glass cabinets.
Yeah, it would be really good. At a location, some of the bits going on.
Yeah,
which I think we should do that in future. What we should do is invest in it and take all the risk, and then I'll just be there. And if it goes well, I'm part of it.
You'll be the welcome party.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm
if,
Guy.
If it doesn't go well, you lose all the money. I'll just leave. I had a good question then. What's the favourite golf club you've ever owned, past or present? And we've probably done this before many podcasts, but what would you say?
I feel like I knew the answer to this. It probably is that Scotty Cameron. I've got that Trillium one that I've had refurbished recently. You know, the one that I... What?
Yeah, no, I was thinking, I was trying to think which one it was. Yeah, I remember.
When I had refurbished. Yeah, yeah. And I played it
that. The long neck one.
Yeah.
Do you want to see something funny? Did you see that picture I put on Instagram? Yeah. So that was me. You can't really see it, but that was me at age 17. Somebody sent me a picture back taking the mick. Look how funny it is. That turtle. It literally looks just like me. So I look like a cartoon turtle. There's some other questions, but I think that was some of the good ones. We're not going to do another podcast now. Well, it'll be normal for the audience next Tuesday after this. But actually for us, it will be like 10 days we'll do one next. We'll have loads to catch up on.
And hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll have a really, really, really like legend status guest lined up in a couple of weeks.
Do I know who this is?
Yeah, we had a phone call about it the other day.
I've literally at this moment in time completely blank.
Really?
Honestly, I'm not even taking it.
We had a phone call on Wednesday.
I wished
everyone a happy weekend.
You did, that was a bit weird. Even though it was Wednesday. Rick, thanks everyone, happy weekend.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Oh, shit, Rick's run the ale again already.
And I put the phone down and went, it's bloody Wednesday. Yeah. Why am I telling everyone?
Well, Rick works Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So for you, it is a weekend.
I've had to be dragged in just to do this.
Podcast
today.
Monday, film Tuesday, darts on a Wednesday in the office, off the rest
of
the
week. That's it, done.
But why
feet
not?
Up, feet up. Right, yeah, everyone, thanks for listening. Episode number 90. I feel like we're getting better.
I do. I think 100. I think genuinely, if people are interested in that 100.
When would the date of that be?
Well, just very quick maths. So bear with me. So we're on.
That'd be 90. 90,
91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96. End of October, roughly.
Yeah, 19th or 26th.
That would be sick if we did it in the location I'm thinking of. Would you come? If you're part of the clubhouse, let us know, and we...
100 live guests. Did we say it, 10 it, or each or 50 each?
10 or each. Right. But then it's a win-win, because you pay 10 to get into the door, as soon as you see Rick get your picture, same in the clubhouse, you get 50 back.
Wow.
So you only really pay, you gain £40.
Whoa. Okay.
I think what we do, if we do that though, we might put it on Facebook. Well, we'll announce it on here, maybe put it on Facebook, but I think we could legitimately do that.
We could.
That would be not even that much work. So if you're interested, the email is podcast@rickshields.com. Just say, yes, that would be good.
And before anyone asks and jokes, no, we're not going to pay for international flights. So you have to get here yourself.
Yes.
Right, guys. Thanks, Guy.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks for listening about all things related to life.
You, your kids and stuff. Yeah, it's good. Enjoyed it.
Erections. Right. See you all soon, everyone.
Another bleep there, sorry, man.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.